Our fifth case for argument this morning is United States against Dunn. Mr. Woodward.
May it please the court, counsel Mr. Kirsch for the government. My name is Brian Woodward. I was the court appointed counsel for Mr. Dunn below and for purposes of this appeal. Let me begin by saying that both Mr. Dunn and myself acknowledge and understand that the task on this appeal is monumental, although perhaps not insurmountable. We understand that in reviewing this matter, it's subject to clear error review. That is, the findings of fact are only going to be found clearly erroneous if they're without foundation in the record, certainly a huge hurdle to overcome. We understand that credibility determinations, likewise, are subject to that same standard of review.
Now, on the drug quantity, you certainly were correct that Mr. Townsend gave varying estimates of the amounts that Mr. Dunn was buying and selling. But it seemed to me that Judge Lozano used the low end of each estimate, and it still put the total quantity over the 500 gram threshold.
Well, at first glance, it seems like that. That's not the case. He did use the low end of some of the estimates, but those weren't the absolute lowest estimates that the witness, the principal witness as to drug quantities, came up with. You'll note that Judge Lozano arrived at those numbers. He took, I think, 4.5, you're referring to. There was most of Judge Lozano's determinations that between 2001 and 2002, well, he took a 2.25 ounce, ounces per week times 8 weeks, and then after prison, 4.5 ounces per week for 4 weeks, both of those totaling over 1,000, approximately 1,008 grams. Now, we're not attacking, I think it's important to note to this panel, we're not attacking the credibility of Mr. Townsend. It's not what we're doing here, because I think we would probably fail if that's what we were doing. This court has determined that if that testimony as to drug quantities and estimates is illogical or physically impossible, now we're not saying it was physically impossible, certainly, but it's so illogical, the amounts that Mr. Townsend arrived at, that there's no way for Judge Lozano's findings in that respect to be upheld. And specifically, you may recall, and we pointed out in our brief, perhaps it was in the reply, I think it was in the principal brief, that Antoine Townsend, when questioned on cross-examination, would not even admit. Now, first of all, you have to recall, he admitted that he's been dealing crack cocaine since the age of 12, over a decade.
You think that would be enough by itself to put the amount over 500 grams?
Well, that's Mr. Townsend, the government's principal witness against Mr. Dunn. Mr. Townsend would not even admit dealing up to 2 kilos of crack cocaine since the age of 12. And you also have to remember that Townsend readily admitted that Dunn only sold roughly half of what he did. That is, Dunn was selling half of what Townsend did. Well, if Townsend wouldn't admit to selling 2 kilos of crack cocaine over more than a decade, certainly Mr. Dunn can't be held responsible for dealing a kilo of crack cocaine over approximately a 2-year period. Now, we also understand and Mr. Dunn understands, and this court has held, that those who buy, sell, and smoke crack cocaine are qualified to testify as to drug type, because these two issues are interrelated, obviously, type and quantity. We also recognize that the preponderance of the evidence standard applies as to sentencing enhancements. But each of these enhancements are principally dependent upon Mr. Townsend's testimony. And I guess the question is, because Judge Lozano did determine him to be credible, the question is, which version of the truth do we believe? Because we have some countervailing principles that this court has put forth on several occasions, which would weigh against those hurdles which Mr. Townsend has to overcome. Number one, obviously it's the burden of proof is on the government to turn to prove type and quantity of the drugs involved. It's also true that a district court, when sentencing a defendant, should err on the side of caution when confronted with multiple estimates, none of which is more likely than the other. I'm sure this court hears frequently the retort from the Edwards case that although all crack is cocaine base, not all cocaine base is crack. And that's basically one of the issues that has arisen here. Now, the error in Mr. Dunn's case is the inconsistent and illogical so-called credible testimony as determined by Judge Lozano, and that is Antoine Townsend only admitted, and again, we're going to look at, we need to err on the side of caution, because what is at stake here is a gentleman's liberty. Antoine Townsend admitted on cross-exam that he had only gone to Chicago to buy crack cocaine. Actually, he said drugs, but we'll assume for purposes of argument just for today that it was crack cocaine. But he had only went a couple times. That was on cross-examination after the government had put on its case in chief, and that's the low estimate of what he admitted to. I'm somewhat concerned about the causal break in the relevant conduct. That is, the court found a certain quantity of drugs which existed before Mr. Dunn went to prison. He then went to prison for a violation from a prior charge on a probation violation, and then the court added drug quantity for amounts it determined he sold after he came back from prison. Now, significantly, when discussing Mr. Dunn's drug-selling habits, Mr. Townsend made comments such as far as I know, I seen him sell a couple times. Clifton Dunn sold out of the apartment, and I sold on the street. I saw him serve a couple times. These are all these quotations and this testimony set forth in the in our brief. I won't bother to give the cites here, but I think the point is simple mathematics, because we're talking about logic here and what's logical. Simple mathematics don't support the findings in this case. If you take Mr. Townsend's testimony as credible, and that is the amounts that Clifton Dunn was selling, substantially less or approximately half of what Mr. Townsend was selling, and if you do the math, it puts about 1,000 customers at Mr. Dunn's apartment door per week. I've reserved some time. I'll address any further questions after the government's argument. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Woodward. Mr. Kirsch.
May it please the court. I'll briefly address the quantity and drug type findings by the district court.
Yeah, because one of the points that have been made, certainly in the brief, and again, you know, is that Judge Lozano double counted. some of the amounts. Was there any double counting in your view?
No, Your Honor, I don't think so. And even if Judge Lozano considered two different types of, if he did in fact double count based upon some of the testimony, the fact of the matter is Clifton Dunn distributed multi-ounce quantities for a long period of time, and I think when Judge Lozano was going through his recitation to determine the quantities involved, he was simply pointing out that there were several different ways to get Mr. Dunn to 500 grams or more. One of the simplest ways was that Mr. Dunn distributed, even if Mr. Dunn only distributed 2 ounces per week for a three-month period after he was released from prison in July until his arrest in February, it's a very short period of time to get him to the 500 quantities. And I think what the district court was trying to do was to set forth several different ways that he gets to 500 grams, even if you take the very minimum of the amounts that were testified to that Mr. Dunn distributed. I don't think the court would have erred had it found that Mr. Dunn distributed well over 1.5 kilograms of crack during the relevant time periods. That's not what the court found, but I think the court was simply setting forth there were several different ways to get him to the 500 grams threshold. As to the drug type, I don't think there's any question in the record that crack was the drug at issue. The defendant never objected to the pre-sentence report that the drug at issue was crack. It was only after the government presented its evidence that the defendant for the first time raised the Edwards question. But as the district court correctly found, the record clearly reflects that the drug that Mr. Townsend was testifying to, the drug that David Payton was referring to, the drug that the government informant was referring to, the drug that Mr. Dunn's girlfriend was referring to, when they talked about the quantities and the types that Mr. Dunn distributed, was unquestionably crack. It's evident in the record and the transcript of Mr. Townsend's testimony. There were questions asked, where did you get your crack cocaine? And his response was from a supplier in Chicago, and I think then I asked him, who's your supplier? And he said, a guy named Tone. How often did you go to see him? 3 or 4 times. What quantities were you buying? Between 4 and 9 ounces. There's no question he was talking about crack cocaine, even though crack wasn't mentioned. And, of course, crack is crack. That's the drug here, and the district court was correct to conclude that that was, in fact, the drug. Unless the court has any additional questions, I ask that the district court be affirmed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Woodard?
Just briefly, Your Honor. Thank you.
I wanted to be clear that Mr. Dunn has never, and is not arguing today, that he has never sold crack cocaine. I think I've made an argument, perhaps, in my initial brief that, contrary, perhaps, to that, and it's clear in the change of plea hearing that Mr. Dunn did admit to selling crack cocaine, at least as to two of those counts. Mr. Dunn has never taken the position that he should not be held responsible for selling some amount of, whether it's cocaine or crack, one or the other. What he has taken argument with is the amount which others seek to hold him responsible for. And the other point I wanted to make is, recall, every time that Antoine Townsend says they went to Chicago to buy drugs, they split those drugs. There was no argument, nor did the court seek to hold Mr. Dunn responsible for the half of the drugs that were going to Mr. Townsend. This wasn't a conspiracy. This wasn't a case where Mr. Dunn is held responsible. I see my time's up. I think the court's ruling was erroneous, as it determines.
Thank you, Mr. Woodard. And Mr. Woodard, we appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment and the assistance you've been both to your client and the court. Thank you very much. The case is under advisement.